Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest, a writer from Marvel Comics and Rick and Morty, host of the Dark Weep podcast. It's Cody Ziegler.
Hey, hi. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to come back. It's always a pleasure to watch a new weird anime and get to yell about it for an hour. So truly the highlight of my night.
Yeah. It's a pleasure having you. The Office episode we did last time was a huge hit. Everyone loved it.
I appreciate you sending me the gif of him spilling the beans. I watched it many, many times.
The beans.
It's so funny.
That's so iconic.
It's also a really useful gif. Yeah. To be like, this is me today or whatever.
I got a new carpet and I posted a picture on it on Twitter. And so I don't see my comments from people that I don't know. So I made the mistake of going to hidden comments and someone posted a picture of the gif of him because my carpet looked like it had a big chili stain on it. And I immediately closed it and never went back to that tweet.
Oh my God. So rude.
Okay, Gabe.
For anyone who doesn't know, this is Kevin from The Office made a huge pot of chili and he's bringing it in.
It's the best cold open from The Office. He just walks in and dumps it onto the ground and he tries to pick it up.
He tries to scoop it back into the pot.
And he's slipping her and sliding around in it.
Oh man, that's so funny.
Oh, nothing I do will ever be that funny.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, no offense, here. But that's just
that's the
height.
Peak.
Yeah.
And now Kevin is like the number one guy on Cameo.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you guys have heard that, but he makes like so much money doing cameos.
That makes sense. We should all get a cameo from him for each other.
Yeah. I mean, look, he did make enough off of The Office and Office residuals. I like that this is like his like, this is what he does to like pay for his bills now. It's like, do cameo. It's an easy job. I love it. I support it.
It's like when like a guy retires and then works as a bagger at the grocery store. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just something to keep me busy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of the perfect gig because he's famous enough that he's probably making a ton of money doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's also gettable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just hanging out at home with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Dream life.
Yeah. I want what he has.
Yeah. Me too.
Seriously. Just cameoing all day.
Mm-hmm.
Zig, how have you been since you last came on?
I've been great. I think last time we spoke, I was still in North Carolina. I am back. I have returned to the city of angels. I have a new apartment. Well, I guess not that new at this point. It's like I've had it for like 3 months, but it's great. I'm newly free. I have my own place by myself. It's great. You know,
amazing.
Coming together. I got my whole setup. I've been cooking like crazy and I'm thriving over here. I'm living life. I'm loving it.
That's amazing. I follow along on your cooking journey. Everything looks delicious.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
What's like your favorite thing right now to cook?
Oh boy, I've been doing this like one pan egg sandwich. So it's like you put the oil in your pan, put egg, two pieces of bread down, fry it on one side, you flip it, then put your cheese and like whatever meat that you're having. Usually I'll do salmon because I'm a pescatarian. Flip it over and then you got like a nice little breakfast sandwich all made in one pan. It's great. Highly recommend.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I want it right now.
I've seen them on your feed and it looks incredible.
Yeah.
You're always
posting like pasta and stuff. And I'm like, yummy.
Yeah. Ketchup and Pepe has been holding me down for most of the summer. So, you know, I'm doing what I can over here.
I love a cacio e pepe. I love a carbonara too. That's always fun to make.
I was a big fan. I mean, COVID has hit all of us really hard, but mostly it's hit me hard because I can no longer see the amazing vacations and food pictures that Agata would go and she would post. So, like, you know, we're hoping that things come around in 2022.
I know my feed is dry. You're right. I'm not doing anything other than just hanging out with Anastasia and two other people.
You got some good dog, some good puppy content.
Thank
so like
you.
It's, you know, when one door closes, a window opens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of been the main thing lately. It's just because for a long time, he was just like hiding from me. Like he really like many months, he was like, this bitch is scary. Like, like I would walk in the room and he'd be like shaking and it was really sad. And then only like I mean, I moved only like, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Not even 2 weeks ago. And I was like, this is going to be really bad. He's going to freak out because he started making some progress. And then he's been doing great. He loves it. Great. He's like, he follows me everywhere. He always wants to be right next to me. Like, I go in the bathroom. I'm like, dude, can I have some privacy? He's like, no, I will stand guard.
I love it. You know, this house is finally becoming a home.
Yeah. I thought it would take him more time to like open up and get comfortable, but he's immediately like,
the new place is like, he immediately seems comfortable with it.
And, like, yeah, it's great.
Brought him out of his shell even more.
Hell yeah.
And there's a yard, which he's still too scared to go in, but we're working on it.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the new year. New year, new yard, new Chip. He's going to be thriving.
Yeah, exactly. Chips will be, you know, pissing all over that yard any day now.
Nice. That's what you love to see.
Yeah. I got to bring his doggy friends over to teach him how to do it. That's what he needs. He's like, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, he needs like a little gang, little dog gang.
He loves that.
So you have been really busy though.
You're always announcing something.
You're like writing
crazy
comic books.
Oh boy. It's at the point where I'm self-conscious now. I should chill a little bit, I think. Yeah. I mean,
we love to see it.
Yeah.
Thank
seriously.
You. I'll continue to do it then. Yeah. So this is fun. Like 2 weeks ago. So I wrapped on Rick and Morty, like, I guess at this point, like 8 or 9 weeks ago, I was like, great. It's the first time I've had time off since like 2019. I'm going to chill and do nothing. And then like 2 weeks ago, I was like finishing up my last Amazing Spider-Man. And I was like, man, it's going to be fun having nothing to do. I'm just going to feel weird. And then immediately by the end of that week, I had like 5 other things I had signed on to do. So the lesson is, like, whenever I get too much free time, I get nervous. And I think that's why you see all the things coming out. It's that I don't like to just sit around in my house and do nothing.
I feel ya.
That's the life of a creative person, right? You're just like, it's feast and famine. And then when you're like, oh, I don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah, I'm definitely, this is definitely me being the squirrel putting all my little nuts in the tree for winter.
Yeah, but I have to say, I do love to just sit around and do nothing. It is one of my favorite things.
It's great. I played a bunch of video games today. Like, that's why, another reason is like, oh, this could, I see my future. Like, I know what my bad habits would be. I'd be playing video games all day, every day, not doing anything.
Yeah, for sure. We gotta hit up Mario Kart soon.
Oh yeah, we need Mario Kart. I was thinking about Among Us. We should play Among Us. We haven't done that in a while.
That has been a very long time. Yeah. I haven't
been in any sus situations in a couple of months.
I'm down. I haven't been playing with my Switch too much, but I want to get back into it.
I started getting
back into Animal Crossing because they added a bunch of new stuff. So now I'm like, you know, pumped to like be a little farmer.
I haven't been to my island since it came out. I know my residents are mad at me. I know.
That's the thing. When you show up, they're like, dude, where the fuck have you been?
It's been like a year. Yeah. It's been a year. I know Tom Nook's looking for his money.
They like are all like pissed off at you, and there's no way around it. You have to go and like just get spanked by all of them one by one. But I tried to start playing Zelda, and I got so frustrated because I was like,
Breath
I don't
of the
know
Wild.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what to do.
It's so big. Yeah. It took me like, this is no lie, it took me like 15 hours to be like, oh, I think I understand what this game is about now. I was just like, as soon as I got like the little parachute glider thing, I was like, they just throw you into this enormous country. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm just like walking around trying to find a horse. I'm like getting beaten up by bears and skull goblins. What is going on here?
I'm jealous because I'm still stuck at pre-glider. I'm like, that old guy is like, would love to give you this thing if you would only fucking do this thing I told you to do. And I'm like, how?
Yeah, once you get the glider, you really get too much. For me, I was like, I have too many options, too many things to do.
Okay.
Like,
maybe I should just YouTube it and figure out. They'll tell me what to do.
Yeah, you'll crack it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to cheat by buying those like books that you could buy that had like cheat codes installed.
Now,
with the internet,
don't need it.
YouTube search will teach everything you need to know.
Just watch someone's twitch while they do it.
I remember having one of those for Mario 64.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah. But also, you don't need it for Mario is pretty simple. Like,
yeah.
But it
yeah,
tells guess, you where to go.
It just shows you like the extra, like, oh, the here's like an extra yeah, yeah, yeah. little, you know,
here's yeah, where here's the an extra star is.
Yeah. Hidden behind this block that looks different than the other blocks that you probably would have yeah. noticed if you weren't 8 years old. All right. I get it.
I still think about that one level. Do you guys remember where you're like sliding down an ice? Like,
oh yeah, I would fucking yeet that little penguin off the
edge. Me too. Me too.
When you get to hell, tell them Mario sent you.
Yeah. Yeah, I went down that slide like maybe 4,000 times.
It's
yeah.
fun.
It is fun.
They should make that in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a fan of anime. Am I?
Mm-hmm. Like guilty.
Do you read manga too?
I do. I don't read that many. I'll buy like the big collections. Like I just started reading Junji Ito's Uzumaki. He's like a big horror writer. He's like, I would say like the equivalent of like H.P. Lovecraft. I'm reading his collection now, and it's very spooky, very, very nice. Scary. So if you're looking for like a Halloween read, I highly
Perfect
recommend.
Perfect time of year.
Highly recommend Spiral. It's very, very creepy.
Amazing. Mm. Are you going to, this is going to come out slightly after Halloween, but are you planning to dress up or anything?
No, I don't want to do the work of having like to like think of something like for a split second there. I was like, oh, I'll buy a Squid Game mask, but then I was like, then I got to like find a. It's like no, it's too much work. I'm just going to show up as a guy looking to have a good time. You know, that's me. What about you? Right. Are y'all dressing up?
No, probably not. But I do love dressing up. I love. Mm-hmm. putting a costume together, but I think last year especially, but even before that, I didn't feel like it was worth the effort, you know.
Yeah same here. Like I'm gonna go if I mean I don't even know who has parties these days. Like all of my friends are past the age of being like, we're gonna have a party. So like even if I do go to a party, I can't imagine I'll be there longer than 3 hours. Like it wouldn't even be worth,
right.
worth the effort of putting a costume together.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of a like with costumes, I'm like a panic the day before kind of person where I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I'll be a fucking cat. I'll draw cat nose. I'm like, I don't know. I do not. And then my friend Melina is like the most like, and my friend David, both of them are like so intense with Halloween that they like do these like crazy elaborate like costumes every year. There's like three or four per person. I'm like, I don't have the, and then they're like working, they're like making them for like months.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, like the last costume I did, I just found a pair of bunny ears in my friend's closet and wore it. That was my costume.
Nice.
Yeah, costume for the night.
That's more my speed.
That's also like a real cool guy move to just be like,
here's David with, Edward Scissorhands. Oh yeah. Go through all of them. So here's Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice.
This is amazing. Yeah. This is too much work.
The Penguin.
I would never do this.
The Grinch.
Oh shit.
Grink.
Oh my God.
The Stranger Things guy. Demogorgon. The Shape of Water guy. Like.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know what this one is. And then Chucky.
Oh, that's cute.
That's funny.
Yeah. So he does a great job, but I'm just
hats off. He's killing it. Yeah. I don't have the energy. Yeah.
My sister's really into cosplay, so she really goes all out. She usually has a bunch of costumes already anyways, but yeah, she did. I don't know. I don't even know if I should say this. It's a little controversial, but she was Ed Gein one year.
Who's that?
He's a serial killer who tried to make a lady suit out of other people's skin.
Jesus.
Did she go as Ed Gein, or did she go as Ed Gein with the lady suit?
She did like a partial skin mask.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's gnarly. Hell
yeah.
Fucking
that is wild.
But I mean, when I was in a sketch group, it was real easy because we always had costume stuff around. You could just like throw some I was like Elaine from Seinfeld one year.
Yeah.
Very easy.
That's a good one for you.
Yeah.
The hair.
My hair just does that.
Yeah.
I don't really need to do anything.
Nice.
But do you like spooky stuff?
I'm a big horror fan. I love a good spooking. I mean, I always watch, my default is just putting horror movies on in the background anyway when I'm doing something. So like, this is my time of year where I'm really thriving, because that's when every streaming service releases all their garbage horror movies that they've made in house. So like, I had done all the Blumhouse Presents, the Screaming, whatever Amazon's like banner was. They had like one called like Screaming Services or something like that. Been watching all that. It's been a great time for me. I thrive on this stuff.
Nice.
Has there been anything that's particularly like good that you recommend?
Oh no, they're mostly all garbage. I'd say almost exclusively terrible films that I would never recommend. But I've rewatched like good stuff, like Attack the Block. I think that's on Amazon.
That Amazon movie's Prime. So good.
Still so good. I saw my favorite movie, Shaun of the Dead, at the Alamo Drafthouse like 3 weeks ago, and it's still so good. I love that movie so much.
I love that movie. Yeah.
It's so good.
It was great. And rewatching it now that it's like, you know, 10, 15 years old, I'm like, or I guess even 20 years old at this point, it's like, oh, this movie has become like a legitimate, like it feels much scarier now than it did as a kid. Like it seemed like a comedy, but now that you're watching it with like the film grain and everything, you're like, oh, this is just a straight up horror movie with a couple of jokes in it at this point.
Yeah. It's very gory.
Yeah.
I love it.
And has like real heart at the end too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like, it like the whole relationship between Sean and Liz is great. It's there's some great acting from Simon Pegg. He gets some tears going on. It's great.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just watched for my friend Andy's podcast. We watched Train to Busan. Have you guys seen that?
Oh yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
So good. I loved it. It was like maybe like one of my favorite zombie movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's a prequel, animated prequel that you think is going to be garbage that's on Amazon Prime that is fantastic as well. Like it's really good. I recommend
check
that.
It out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I think you might like it. I haven't seen the sequel to it, to Train to Busan, but the prequel is pretty dope.
They made a sequel.
Yeah, I think it's called like The Peninsula or something like that. I haven't heard anyone really talk about how good it is. Like, I don't know if they captured the lightning in a bottle twice, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how that would, I guess, maybe.
They're on a different train.
Yeah, another train.
So how did you get into anime?
Oh, boy. So when I was a kid, Toonami dropped when I was like 12 or 30, like basically how everyone got into it. Like I was like, we just got cable and like, there's a whole channel dedicated to cartoons. I was like, there's a whole channel, whole network for cartoons. You kidding me right now, mom? And then one afternoon I came home from school and I saw a giant robot that transformed from a plane to a robot. I was like, oh, this is it. Now I'm sold. And then like I found Dragon Ball Z the next week. I was like, oh, game over. It's been downhill ever since. Like as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, this is going to be my personality. This is going to be the thing that I'm into until the day I die. And so far, sadly, it stuck. 20 years later, it's still sticking.
Nice.
Hey, it's nice to have something you like that much.
There's like a whole generation that Toonami like just change their lives.
Yeah.
It's like whole generation of kids that grew up watching that.
Yeah. All the people that are watching like that lo-fi, the hip hop playlist to study to or whatever, like it just came from, there's just like the OG Konami kids. Yeah. Give me the anime girl and some like Flying Lotus and like, I'll just zone out and do my work for the next 8 hours.
Amazing.
what would you say is your favorite anime of all time?
Oh, wow. I think the one that I still watch and still like go back to, even like the sequels to, is definitely Dragon Ball Z. Like I still watch that. Like they had a couple of sequel series called like Dragon Ball Super. I still watch that. Like I still read the comics that come out every month. Like that's been holding me down for like 20 years at this point. Like that's the one that's going to be my ride or die, I think, for the whole shebang.
That's awesome.
Nice. I'm a little too old for Toonami. I mean, I watched it, but I was already, you know, kind of older when it came out. But when I was a kid, Robotech was like how me and my brother and sister got into anime.
That's the one that got me into it. That's what I was talking about. Like,
our Macross, the whole Macross, like, you know, shows. But like that was on just network TV when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would tape it off of TV onto a VHS tape and watch it over and over again. And then my brother got so into it that he used to do this thing where there was a store in San Francisco that he would get, he would call them and ask for their catalog. They would mail the catalog to him. And then we would order VHS tapes out of the catalog and they would send them to us. And sometimes we didn't really like know what was going to be on them necessarily. And sometimes they were did not have subtitles. They were just like someone taping off of their TV in Japan.
Oh, that's dope.
And we found a lot of really fun shows that way. And like Ranma Half was like one of the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Urusai Yatsuda. Mm-hmm. And then eventually... We joined, this is like so nerdy and old school, but we lived near a university, University of Arizona, and there was a club at the university that anyone, even if you weren't a student, could join called the Tucson Animation Screening Society.
Yes.
And we would go every Saturday morning and watch essentially like 6 hours of anime that these students at U of A would... They would subtitle it themselves. They were like learning Japanese in college.
Nice. Oh, that's dope. And that's extremely my shit. I fucking love that. That's so dope.
And it was really, sometimes it was weird because there was like creeps there too.
Of course.
And me and my sister were little children. And some like weird dude would try and talk to us and we'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Just here for the anime.
Yeah, just here for the anime, please. But we did that until we actually started finding, you know, anime available to rent at the video rental store.
Yeah, I felt that my version of the old man yells at cloud is not, or is like the kids don't know how good they have these days. It's like Crunchyroll or like the Funimation app. Like you guys can just like go watch something. You didn't have to like go to like the creepy section of the flea market to get the unsubtitled fan edits or the fan mates that came on like a VHS tape that some dude sold you that you have no idea what the fuck is even on it. Today's a good time to be alive if you're into that stuff, which seems like everyone is because it's just like a facet of pop culture now.
Yeah, and it's just so easy to get. I mean, it's just everywhere compared to back in the day when it was like,
God, that's like everything though. I feel like we're old now to be like, kids didn't have to work hard find shit. Like I was on LimeWire, I was listening to Bill Clinton say, I don't have sexual relations with that one. Just to download like an MP3 of like a Linkin Park song.
Yeah, to get half of a Metallica song off Napster. And it took 30 minutes to download it.
Yeah, it took so long. And your parents would kick you off the internet. And you're like, no, I'm only halfway downloaded.
Yeah. That was a nightmare.
Yeah. But so Slam Dunk is like the first basketball anime I'd ever heard of. Have you ever seen any of that?
I've never actually seen Slam Dunk. I've only seen like GIFs because it's a very GIFable show. There's a bunch of wild stuff that happens on that show.
Yes. But
there's one that I still have saved in my phone that I use pretty often. There's one where one of the guys, I guess, is going to buy shoes and the dude just appears with like some like Nike high tops. And I still have that in my phone and I use that pretty regularly.
I love it. What a dream.
Yeah.
A dude just appears out of nowhere with some Nike high tops.
Yeah, it's great. And there's another one where it's like that's a dude holding two Nikes right walking away. So like I very much have those ingrained in my there's right there the one that Gabe pulled up. I got those and the one right next to it. I got that one in the I got all these. Yeah,
love it.
Those are cool shoes.
I know. I was like, and they're like the worn in too. Like you got the toe boxes open. Yeah, anime and dope shoe design. Like I was like, I need to watch this show even though I haven't.
It's like a weird. It's a comedy, you know. Like it's very goofy and like it's mostly about like having a crush on a girl, you know.
Of course.
And but it's also like, they're basketball players, but they have superpowers essentially.
Hell yeah! I'm gonna watch that.
I want to watch.
It's on Crunchyroll, but it's so 90s too, like the animation style and everything, and you know just. I don't know. It's funny. It's very like they obviously loved the Bulls, the 90s Bulls.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it on a future ep.
Yeah. But so we, I had never seen what this show that we're going to talk about today, Kuroko no Basuke. And I was, my sister told me, because me and my sister would watch Slam Dunk, and she was like, there's this new basketball anime that everyone's freaking out about. And it's not that new, but it's new to America.
Yeah.
And so we figured we'd check it out.
Yes.
Had you seen this before?
No, I've never seen it. I've only seen it the logo on Netflix when I would sign in, but I never even stopped to see what the actual thing was. I just saw like the blue Kuroko. I was like, all right, I'll get back to this later. But I did not know it was a basketball anime. So like watching it, I mean, we'll get into it, but like that was a very big surprise, and I loved how much they leaned into it still being an anime. It was very, very fun.
Yeah. So it's the manga was created by Tadatoshi Fujimaki, and it was released in Shonen Jump from 2008 to 2014. And then the anime series had three seasons, and that ran from 2012 to 2015. And then there was three films, and then there was little novel versions, and then there were video games, apparently, and stage plays.
Stage plays.
Oh, wow. Stage plays? Okay.
Okay.
So this was a hit in Japan. Like, wow. This is a wild hit. And actually, I just read this crazy thing about how the creator, he got, like, death threats.
Oh, no.
From someone who was saying, like, all of the fan fiction that was being made off of this was ruining it. And they were saying, like, you better stop the fan fiction or we'll kill you.
Oh, how do you stop fan fiction?
You can't.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't stop the fan fiction.
And we actually,
are fan fiction.
And that guy was arrested, thankfully. But so the fandom in Japan was wild. So let's see. I'm going to just really quickly give a little synopsis of the premise, and then
yes,
we could just dive right into it.
You simply have to, yes.
So there's a legendary middle school team at Teiko Middle School.
It's already funny. Yeah.
When I tell you I was laughing so hard at that, like, these guys are like 12, they're 13, what?
And you know, that intro plays before every single episode. Thankfully, Netflix will just cut it and jump to the... But so the intro is like, the legendary Teiko Middle School basketball team called the Generation of Miracles.
They say that like 100,000 times in these two
episodes.
Miracle
years, the miracle generation.
Yeah. They're all in high school now, first years, but they all split up and went to different high schools. And Kuroko, who's one of the Generation of Miracles, he was like the sixth man, the legendary sixth man that no one talks about. And he's not great at fundamentals, but he can pass like a Super Saiyan. And and they keep talking about how he has no presence. No one pays attention to him, so he can
weak
like
presence. They keep saying.
They make a point too. There's like a lady that can like, I guess, measure your power level. She's like, no, this guy is absolute trash. Like, I don't think you know, but I got the numbers to back up how trash this guy's game is.
So that's the coach of the team. Her name is Ida Rico, and she has like a Terminator style. Like, she can just like look at someone. And it's like beep boop 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 beep boop.
Yes, like you gotta like. Great jump shot.
Yeah. Like you have very powerful arms but weak legs. And for some reason, all these little emojis, like some onigiri pop up.
Yum.
It's like, oh, he gets 5 onigiri his abs.
You have a wet ball.
She's kind of like creepy because she's just like scanning them up and down. Like,
high school kids, high school boys.
Well, also, and then that one guy, she's like, oh, you're huge.
So she's a student. She's just a senior student. But it's still weird that she's the coach of the team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first thing she says, day one of practice, she's like, take off your shirts.
Okay. Relatable.
I get it. Yeah. But yeah, so the huge guy, his name is Kagami, and he's got red hair, and he's very intense. He's terrifying, tall first year who went to middle school in America.
So he
big plot point.
They said he learned from the source. Is that what they said?
Yeah, I mean, I guess America something is like the source.
The source of basketball.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a mean crossover. He learned it from A1 tapes.
And he's just very
serious.
He's very intense.
Yeah.
Immediately hates Kuroko because he says he's weak.
That's so, I felt so bad for him immediately. They're all just like roasting him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. The small, simple boy. He just wants to, I just wants to do good for his team. I thought that guy was the main character for a while because like, he's like the first one that's really introduced. Yes. And he's like, oh, this is the guy. This guy's going to be able to fucking ball. I can't wait to watch this series. So then when you find out it's like the Kuroko is the main character, I was like, we are in for a completely different show now.
Yeah. And I had a similar thing where I was like, at first I was convinced that he was a ghost. Because that would be like, fun. They're like, he wasn't even here. I was here at the stand the whole time. Where did
he's
he come from?
He's the spirit of basketball.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he's a ghost. That's fun. I don't know how they're going to make that work. But and then like they're in the gym and she's like, okay, we've got all the people here. And he's like, oh, I'm here too. And I'm like, the ghost came in again. The ghost is ghosting.
Yeah, he's still here.
It's like a comedic like trope that they use again and again where they're like, I didn't even see you there. You know, and he's like, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
For example, Kagami goes to a McDonald's type place and he gets like 200 hamburgers. Yeah. And he sits down at a table where Kuroku's already sitting. And he gets scared. He's like, I don't want you at my table. And he's like, I was here first.
It's so mean. Yeah. They're just bullying this guy. And he's got blue hair. I feel like he really stands out. Yeah.
He's the shortest guy and he has blue hair. He looks like an old man, but like, he's...
And he's like very pretty. He's got like giant eyes, blue eyes. And like, he's, you know... a delicate young boy. And then Kagami has very intense small eyes, bright red hair.
Yeah. He's the Rodman of the team, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially the first episode is that just learning all of this stuff. They learn that Kuroko is the shadow, as he calls himself.
Well, they also like when they're practicing and they're like, oh, or she, the coach is like, he's like the infamous passer. And it's like,
yeah,
there's no way anybody would be like talking about the guy who's passing yeah. really well.
Wait, yeah.
So the big reveal, like I thought there's going to be, oh, this guy's going to be like you're going to see he's got like either a wet ass jump shot or wet ass ball. He's got like a mean dunk or something like that. But then I found out that the whole show is just about the glue guy. He's just the guy that's good on the team. I was like, okay, what is this?
It is about the glue guy. It's he's the star of the team.
Yeah. I mean, there's rumors about the middle school passer.
Yeah. He can get all the angles.
He reminds me of Jason Williams. Gabe, can you look up a Jason Williams assist highlights reel? Because this is the kind of thing he does where it's like no look passes and like between the leg, like nutmeg kind of stuff.
Nutmeg. I love that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
behind
get
the
it.
Back.
All right, yeah.
There we go.
But I do like how they treat like a superhero.
Yeah.
This looks great.
Yeah. The quality of this video is horrible.
Yeah. I think I was shot on my mom's potato.
I couldn't tell which guy he was in that.
Yeah.
But the thing that sucks is like, he can't run. He gets tired really easily and he cannot shoot for shit. Yeah. Like they need to just work on that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they could just improve their pass game if they worked harder. Like if they have the bar is set at this level of athleticism, they should be able to recreate that, right?
Right.
Right. But he's boring. No one sees him come up to steal the ball. So
that's why he's a glue guy. He's holding it together.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it makes sense that his stats are all terrible, but he's not representing his performance, which is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, helping. Rising tide lifts all ships. He's that rising tide.
Yes.
He's not there to bring home a glory. He's there to bring home the W with the rest of the team.
Right. He's helping everyone else look good.
I feel like a lot of this show is actually kind of trying to teach people basketball terms. Because they'll be like, he'll go to make a shot and it's like definitely not going to go in. But then mm-hmm. Kagami jumps up and dunks it, which is like, that's what he does best. And then they're like,
reboundu.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, that's an alley-oop. And you know, it's like, they immediately like say what's happening and describe it. And like,
it's so funny. It's, I think of the, there's one where, I don't think they set up a pick. They just, he just crosses, I think he does a pick and he's a pivot. That's all he does. Like, that's how he gets out. That's how he stops offending a character. But they, like the later, like it goes into super anime vision where like you see like after images of him like stopping and pivoting and crossing a guy other than like just doing a little jump shot, and you're like, the way that you're able to dramatize like the most mundane move in basketball, I love 100%. Like they actually introduce like a slam dunk. I know it's going to be insane. I know it's going to be off the walls.
Yeah, it is funny how it's also interesting because it made me realize how hard it must be to animate basketball or any sport really,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because they really do, it's like so many close-ups on things, and like they do really make things so overly dramatic where like someone's like in midair going up to block a ball for like 10 minutes and their like internal monologue is like going for forever. It's great.
This is how I win. Dun, 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 dun. And then they get slapped. out of their hand.
They also have that great, this happens in Dragon Ball a lot, actually, where their internal monologue is like, this my opponent is so amazing. He's like thinking about like how good the opponent is. I love it.
Now's not the time, dude. You gotta like get amped up.
Yeah,
have save some it for confidence. The Twitter, dude. Except for the bus ride back to the school, the campus. Yeah.
So at the end of the first episode, Kuroko says to Kagami, look, dude, here's my whole goal. Like, you're not good enough yet to beat the other generation of Miracles boys. But my goal is to make you the best player in Japan and make our team the best team in Japan. Because he's not all about winning, but he is about teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Honestly, I would love to see the Avengers crossover where it's him and Ted Lasso on a team. You know, they're putting together an exhibition team.
Wow. Yeah. They
would actually be great together.
Yeah. He would always believe that'd be like his battle cry as he's like when they're down like 3 points and like you know they have 30 seconds left on the shot clock. That's when the internal monologue and like, I must believe, like Coach Lasso. You know, like he like passes the ball to someone that hits the three, and then they win.
God, a Ted Lasso anime would be awesome, actually.
Think about it. Think about it. You hear that, Apple?
Okay, you should pitch this, Zig, before anyone gets their grubby hands on it.
Yeah. So episode 2 starts out where Kagami and Kuroko are like, we want to start even though we're first years. And they're like, hold up, you got to do something first. So the coach makes them meet her on the roof of the school. And it's Monday morning, right when the like school assembly is happening outside. And she wants them to yell at the rest of the school what their goal is for the year. And if they don't reach their goal, then they have to come back there naked and declare their love for their crush.
Also, there's no bonding contract that no one could make you do that. You know, it really is like they could be like, yeah, I'll totally do that. Wink, wink.
Well, also like that's inappropriate.
Yeah. They're in high school.
That's your coach.
Yeah.
And what if they don't have a crush?
Yeah.
What's that like?
There's no mention of crushes thus far in the show.
You know, I think this might be a classic example of her projecting. The coach is obviously projecting her numerous crushes on these players, and they are suffering for it.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a part, I think, where someone was like, she's cute, but she's not like hot.
Oh, yeah. That was right when they first met her. That first thing they said, which is so fucked up.
And yeah, really roasted her out of the gate.
the captain of the team, who's this like cool guy with glasses, he like shoves the other guys and is like, shut up. So maybe they're gonna have a love story. The captain and the coach.
And then there's just like an old man who's just supervising.
I think he's like an old teacher who's like their, because in Japan sports are clubs, like they're all, it's all under the umbrella of clubs. And so I think they have to have like a teacher supervisor or whatever.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
What, you know how when you had a club, you had to have like the teacher liaison. Yeah,
we had a film club in high school, and like it was just an excuse for us to watch a bunch of movies that we may or may not have liked, and like we just had to have a teacher sign off for it. So I think that may be the case for this one too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, but it doesn't make sense that she's the coach.
Hey, look, you make a lot of good points on that end. It does not track that this 12th grader is somehow coaching the basketball team.
Well, she's got the Terminator thing, so that's kind of
that's
cool.
True,
and
the reason why she has the Terminator thing is because her dad is a sports scientist or whatever. So she grew up just watching her dad do sports science.
I love how liberal they are. The definition of what sports science entails.
So I actually, big reveal, I did a study or a homestay in Japan when I was 15 for a summer. Mm-hmm. I lived with a family for a summer in the South. And my host sister was the manager of the girls' basketball club. And that's the first time ever that I ever picked up a basketball. They all were like, oh, you're American, you're probably good at basketball. You should shoot around with us. And I was like, okay. I mean, I just was there anyways, and I was very bad, but that was the first time I ever shot a basketball, even tried anything.
Nice.
And I ended up becoming really good friends with a girl on the team who played a joke on me where she said that punch, like fruit punch, which is actually ponchi in Japanese, she said it's chimpo, which is ponchi backwards. And so I said to my host mom, I want some chimpo, which means penis. She played a little prank on me.
You know, 10-10, no notes, got that ass. I love that. Roasted.
That's such a good prank.
Yeah.
And she was back, you know, behind me giggling the whole time. And my host mom went up and hit her.
Oh,
like,
my God.
But it's like a laughing, like Japanese style hit. But I went to a big basketball tournament with my host sister. It was really fun. Wow. Yeah, this
were they
a lot of
out there. Were they like? Wow. Well, I guess it was like younger. It wasn't like college age people.
No, they're all high school. But it kind of reminded me of this show in how like the gyms are set up with that second floor like observation deck. You know what I'm talking about? And it was. They were okay. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really that into basketball back then.
It's funny that now that you're saying that, it is really like we're just watching the LaMelo anime. Like we're watching their origin stories.
That's true. So anyways, by the end of the second episode, they all declare their goals or whatever on the roof, except for Kudoko. But then he just like puts it really big in the dirt the next day. That he wants to make the team the best in Japan. And then they meet one of the generation of miracles, Kize Ryota, who shows up unannounced. He's surrounded by girls because apparently he models on the side because he's so handsome.
Relatable.
Yeah, I know.
We've all been there, please.
You know when you're just so handsome that you can't help but be a model too?
Yeah, and there's just a gaggle of girls that follows you around.
My girlfriend, who is a model who lives in Canada, who doesn't go to the school, also has the exact same problems, but we power through, you know.
Oh, bless her. Must be hard. And then he's like, he's very sweet, I think, to Kudoko.
Yeah.
And Kudoko's mean to him because he's like, we were really good friends in middle school. And he's like, nope, not more than anyone else. And then
just wants a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be hard. It must be really isolating being that handsome.
Yeah. I do feel bad for the ultra hot,
good at basketball guy.
They're just like us when you think about it.
Yeah. God.
So then Kagami challenges Kisei, and Kisei learns the exact same, like, he, whatever he sees being done, he can learn that move instantaneously. So he just does all of Kagami's moves to him, and beats his ass. But then Kisei asks Kuroko to join his team at his school. Kuroko says no, and he says he's not all about winning now, and he's devoted to helping Kagami be the best.
Wow.
Growth. That's what we call that.
Love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your guys' thoughts on the show? Let's just say, would you watch more?
I think I would definitely have this on in the background, because it's one of those things that, like I said, I thought it was going to be like, you know, this guy's going to be like, he's got the best jump shot, or he has the best crossover, but really he's just the guy that holds the team together. Yeah. And that is so unintentionally very funny to me. The idea of like following just like the glue guy
on a team.
Yeah. The heart of the team. That's his back asset is that he can pass. Like when he does, when there's a one-on-one game between him and,
Kagami.
Him and old boy, yeah. And like he's like he has a big thing in his head, like, I'm gonna figure out all his moves, and he's like, yo, you're bad. He's like, yeah, I know that I'm bad. I knew that I was gonna lose, but I just wanted to like meet you and see how you played. Like, yeah. I could watch that. I could do a whole season of that. Sign me up.
That was really cute. Agata.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep watching it. Maybe. If the mood strikes.
Is that really your cup of tea?
Yeah.
Do you watch anime at all? Have you watched? I mean, other than you like Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah, I do. I haven't seen a lot. That's the
now. There's time. That's the free time.
Yeah, I feel like this is a real anime. This isn't like like it's not as accessible as like some shows are.
Yeah, it's a little impenetrable, I think, to like, you have to either be a huge basketball fan or I think just an anime, a deep dive anime fan, because it's the crossover, like that Venn diagram is very, very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Gabe, would you watch it again?
I don't think I'll probably watch it again. It was enjoyable for the two episodes. I did have to watch it dubbed. I don't know if that's like sacrilege.
I did the same thing.
Like, I did too.
Who are we trying to impress?
I mean, I feel strongly about it when it's like live action, like Squid Game. I don't want it dubbed, but like in anime, I feel like it's not as big of a difference. Or maybe I'm wrong.
I'm a subtitles diehard, but I think that's just like an old thing. I grew up with watching it subtitled, and I just think part of it is like you get used to one voice, and then when you hear another voice, you know, it freaks you out. But you know, I don't care if you want to watch it dubbed. I think the people who are like, that's fucked up, is that's stupid. Like,
yeah.
If it gets people to watch it, great.
Yeah, I also have no attention span, so if I have to be staring the whole time, I'm gonna be looking at my phone. Yeah. I'm gonna lose, forget stuff. I'm stupid, basically.
I was entertained, I think, because I had the subtitles and the dubbed voice at the same time, and it seemed like I think they had to like stretch out some of the things people were saying to match the mouth movements.
The lip flaps, yes.
So like maybe it would say on the screen like, "You're not very skilled at this," but then the voice would be like, "You suck at basketball. Perhaps this is not the sport for you."
stretch. Yeah.
I actually have watched more already. I watched up to episode 9, and I think I'll keep watching it. It's like,
oh, hell yeah.
From what I can tell so far, like essentially it's like a big tournament sort of thing where each episode they kind of face a new foe and then they meet each of the Generation of Miracles like one by one, and they each have like a very specific superpower. So like the guy who can see a move and copy it immediately, there's a guy who's like he cannot miss a 3-point shot and he like tapes his fingers up. It's really funny.
That's so funny. I love that.
He calls people who dunk like I can't remember the word he uses, but essentially they're like stupid for only dunking because 3-point shots.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's a sniper. That's so I'm gonna watch this. That sounds right in my head. It's so silly.
And they just kind of keep, as they move up in the tournament, they meet more of the Generation of Miracles.
Nice. Yeah, I'm into that.
All right. So each week we highlight our favorite comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's the cutie comment of the week. This week's comment is from Sam Ding. Okay, it's a conversation between Ernie, Chuck, Kenny, and Shaq. So Ernie says, and you can go to dunk.town. And Chuck says, dot town? What do you mean dot town? Kenny, they do that now. Shaq says, why are you getting all upset about the website, Chuck? They do have a lot of like old man arguments.
Wait, Sam just made this up about our website? That's so mm-hmm. cute. I love that. This is like fanfic.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Amazing. Yeah. If you want to be eligible for a cutie comment of the week, you got to join our Cutie Nation Discord. Sign up on our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. $5 members also get early access to ad-free episodes as well as 2 bonus episodes per month. And you can now sign up annually and get a month free. All right. Zig, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Thanks for having me, first of all. Foremost, always a plan. Always a pleasure doing the show. Always love being a part, dipping my toes into Cutie Nation. I love to be here. The waters are always warm and inviting. check out Yay for Zig if you want to follow me on any of my socials for whatever reason. And check out Amazing Spider-Man starting at number 75. We had a really great team come together. My issues drop at the end of November, but there's been some really great issues from Zeb Wells and Kelly Thompson and Saladin Ahmed. So like, please check this out. The team would love it.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Is it exciting to have like a physical thing that you created? Yeah, I mean, a TV show is cool. Yeah, but like
people can't see it, but like I keep, there's an issue, my first issue of a Spider-Man I ever wrote for Miles Morales that I keep next to my desk at all times. And it's like, that's my version of the Ted Lasso Believe poster. Like
that
cute.
Brings me immense joy. And it feels so cool.
It's it's like the first dollar at your diner.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I am this far away. I'm this close to like getting it framed. Honestly.
You
yeah.
should. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Of course.
Have all of your issues framed on your wall. I think that's cool.
And don't be self-conscious about doing great stuff. We're happy to see it. We're proud of you.
Everyone's rooting for you.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm rooting for y'all too. Big fans.
Thank you.
One thing I just remembered that I want to bring up.
Okay.
I'm actually not a big fan of you, so thanks for coming. No.
180. I just remembered something that, because when I was watching this anime, I kept expecting them to kiss. There were so many moments where I was like, they're about to kiss, right? Like, especially with his old teammate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I Googled it, and there is so much fan art these characters kissing. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let everyone know so that they can Google it
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again to Zig, and thanks to all of the cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye. For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.